Thank you, Chief Blair. Good afternoon, Chairman Garcia and members of the City Council Public Safety Committee. The Police Department welcomes the opportunity to provide an update on the 2011 end-of-year crime statistics, our sworn staffing level for fiscal year 2012, and some of what we call our force multipliers. We'll also provide an overview of the FY12 budget, some issues currently confronting the department, including our plans for addressing the need for the next recruit academy as part of the fiscal 2013 budget process. We're also prepared to try and answer any questions you may have about the impact of street lighting and criminal activity. Before I get started, I'd like to provide a short crime statistics 101. Like most police agencies in the country, we prepare our crime statistics in accordance with the FBI's Uniform Crime Reporting Guidelines and report them to the California Department of Justice on a monthly basis. They send the data to the FBI, which aggregates the nationwide statistics for a calendar year by agency and reports annually in June or July on the previous year's data. We focus on three primary categories of crimes. First is the violent crimes, which include murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault. The second category is called property crimes, which include burglaries, larcenies, auto theft, and arson. The third category is the total Part 1 crimes, which is the sum of the violent and the property crimes. In 2010, we had the lowest numbers of crimes in 40 years. Those numbers are the basis of comparison for the 2011 statistics. Crime is starting to trend up, but remains well below the 10-year averages. As we move into 2013, we'll rely even more on technology and community assistance in our crime control efforts. It is difficult, if not impossible, to identify another city with sufficiently similar characteristics to make a comparison of crime statistics meaningful. Consequently, we use our past performance as a benchmark to assess current performance. We generally compare our crime statistics with the previous year's data for the same period. This slide graphically portrays our violent crime totals for the past decade. As the slide indicates, violent crimes include murders, rapes, robberies, and aggravated assaults. The 2011 total of 2,856 violent crimes is 4.4% greater than the 2010 total of 2,735. The red line, however, reflects the average number of violent crimes for the prior 10 years, which is 3,364. The 2011 statistics are over 15% lower than the 10-year average. While we don't like to see any increase, I think it's important to underscore what a good job our officers and the community are doing in an effort to reduce violent crime. This slide depicts the 2011 violent crime statistics by crime category. We experienced 25 murders last year, which was the lowest number since 1968. And that's as far back as we can find valid data. This is almost a 20% reduction from the previous year total of 31. The number of rapes also decreased significantly. We had 112 last year compared with 134 in 2010. We experienced almost a 10% increase in robberies, in part related to the price of gold. Necklace snatches occurred with a far greater frequency than in prior years. Our robbery total was 1,319, an increase of 110 crimes over the 2010 total. Aggravated assaults increased by a little over 2% last year. We had 1,400 crimes, 30 more than we had in 2010. The total number of violent crimes, again, was 2,856, which was an increase of 121 crimes and 4.4% over the 2010 totals. This slide shows the annual total of property crimes, which include burglaries, larcenies, auto thefts, and arsons for the past decade. The red line on this slide depicts the 10-year average number of property crimes. The 2011 property crimes total was 12,951, which was a 10.5% increase over the 11,716 crimes in 2010. Once again, it's important to note that the 2010 numbers were the lowest number of property crimes in 40 years. The total average number of property crimes from 2001 through 2010 was 13,782. The 2011 total was 5.7% below that 10-year average. The next couple of slides will depict the property crime statistics by crime category for 2011. There are three categories of burglaries: residential, garage, and commercial. Burglaries involve breaking into a building to commit a theft. Our residential burglaries increased by 11% from 1,791 in 2010 to 1,995 in 2011. Many of these crimes involved criminals accessing residences through open windows or unlocked doors. Garage burglary totals decreased slightly in 2011. We experienced 346 such crimes. Commercial burglaries were up almost 19%, or 148 crimes. The 935 total crimes may be a reflection of our challenging economic conditions. The 2011 burglary total was 3,276, which was an 11.7% increase over the 2010 total of 2,929. Larcenies involve the unlawful taking of another's property with the intention of taking it. There are several types of larceny which are broken out in our crime reporting. Auto burglaries involve breaking into a vehicle to steal property. In 2011, auto burglaries increased by over 16%. This crime can be impacted by not leaving visible property in your vehicle, like purses and GPS devices. Grand theft involves property worth more than $500, and we saw almost a 15% increase in these crimes. Petty thefts are broken down into those with a property value greater than and less than $50. Each crime category saw a slight increase in 2011. In part, these thefts involved cell phones and other personal technology devices, which are much, much more prevalent with young people today than ever in the past. The final larceny category is bike theft, and here we saw an increase of over 22%. With more people taking advantage of our new bike-friendly streets, there are more opportunities for criminals. We encourage bikers to get a good locking device and use it when you park your bike. Overall, we experienced over 7,300 larcenies in 2011, an increase of over 12.5% over the 2010 total of 6,523. The final two crime categories in the property crimes area are grand theft auto and arson. Grand theft auto is the theft of the vehicle itself. We experienced slightly over 2,200 vehicle thefts in 2011, which was a little over 1%, or 23 crimes more than the prior year. Long Beach had two serial arsonists at work last year, which resulted in a dramatic increase in the number of arson cases, nearly 80% over 2010. We had 133 cases in 2011 and only 79 in 2010. The 2010 number was the lowest number recorded since we started tracking arsons in the early 1980s. The total number of property crimes in 2011 was 12,951, which was a 10.5% increase over the 2010 total of 11,716. We'll now get into the staffing numbers. This slide depicts our budgeted sworn staffing levels for each fiscal year since 2000. The numbers all include 17 recruit positions. The department experienced significant growth during the last decade. We added 76 positions, which were funded for 3 years by federal COPS grants, 57 positions funded by contracts, 4 positions funded by the Office of Traffic Safety, and 14 positions funded by Proposition H. Only 5 of the added positions were initially general fund supported. Given the general fund deficit and the proportional share reduction policy, the number of sworn positions was no longer affordable. Consequently, many sworn and civilian positions have been eliminated. The fiscal year 2012 sworn staffing level is 852 full-time equivalents, or FTEs. From our high of 1,020 sworn FTEs in 2009, we have eliminated 168 FTEs, which is a 16.5% decrease. As of today, we have 825 actual sworn officers assigned. This slide depicts a breakdown by rank and classification. We have 10 vacant sworn positions, including 1 commander, 2 lieutenants, 3 sergeants, and 4 officers. As our numbers of officers has declined, we've looked to various sources for what we call force multipliers. In basic criminal justice courses, they talk about the crime triangle. Each side represents a suspect, a victim, and a location. If you can eliminate one side, the crime does not occur. Using that premise, we collaborated with other city departments and used RDA support to eliminate a number of problem locations with histories of high numbers of calls for service and high incidences of crime. This slide lists a number of those locations which were torn down and in some cases have been replaced with uses which positively impacted the quality of life and reduced crime in the neighborhoods. Chief McDonnell has also been a champion of using technology as a force multiplier to fight crime. We have a large and expanding network of city cameras placed in critical locations to allow monitoring of activities and to assist in the investigation of criminal activity. We have recently consolidated all of our camera monitoring at the Emergency Communications and Operations Center, and in a few weeks we'll be able to access them in a real-time crime analysis center we call LBCOP, or the Long Beach Common Operating Picture. We are also asking all new businesses, particularly those seeking entertainment licenses, to install security cameras with internet protocol addresses so we can add them to our network and access them when needed. We've also been very, very fortunate to have had City Council support to maintain the currency of our fleet of police vehicles. We recently acquired two previously owned helicopters, which are far more efficient and cost-effective to operate. We also upgraded the video downlink capability, which will enhance our ability to assess and manage future incidents. We were able to buy 126 new Crown Victorias, some of the last of the Ford production line, to give us adequate replacements for the next several years. We have been replacing our old Kawasaki motorcycles with the far more safe BMW models, and with the help of the Harbor Department and Port and Homeland Security grants, we're upgrading our port security patrol boats. Perhaps the most important force multiplier are our community members. Although we are no longer able to staff traditional neighborhood watch programs, we have implemented Community Watch in its place. Working with divisional police resource officers, communities are coming together to expand the number of eyes and ears in our neighborhoods. We have identified over 50 partners from a variety of businesses who have agreed to share their security camera information with us under the Community Camera Partnership. We have identified some generic specifications for cameras which owners can choose to install. We've also made it easier for the community to share information with us with the anonymous iTip and iWatch systems, and we can keep the community informed of significant events using Nixel. We also instituted the LB Safe Recovery Program, which uses an emergency locator bracelet to help identify subscribers who might be prone to wander away from home. This slide depicts the highlights of our FY 2012 budget, which we're now executing. To meet our proportional share of the deficit reduction target, the police department made $9.39 million in general fund cuts and eliminated over 75 positions, 32 of which were sworn. The police budget represents nearly half of the city's general fund budget, and when all funds are included, the total budget is just short of $200 million. We have a total workforce of 1,253, including the 852 sworn positions discussed earlier. At the end of the FY12 budget process, the City Council added close to $6 million in one-time funds to meet one-time needs. This slide lists those needs, and these are the purposes of the Upland Oil revenues, and we thank the Council's support. As we approach the onset of the 2013 budget process, there are a number of issues facing the department. First on the list will be the discussion of how and when to fund the next recruit academy. Fortunately, the salaries of the new recruits are included in the base budget, so the critical factor will be whether or not we can be sure that the new recruits won't be subject to layoff due to budget cuts. We have been operating the Tiburon software for the computers in our police cars, our dispatching, and our record keeping for many years. We are now experiencing system degradation, which is causing delays in logging on of up to 30 minutes. and we need to upgrade that system soon. Similarly, we need to replace the 7-year-old Toughbooks mobile data computers in the cars. We're experiencing hard drive failures at an increasing rate. We're also reviewing options for the consolidation of the dispatch functions at the ECOC. The future of the BRAC transfer for Schroeder Hall property to house the East Patrol and Youth Services divisions is now unfunded due to the demise of the redevelopment agency and will be addressed later this month. We also need additional resources to connect the sewer at the academy and to replace aging motorcycles. The outlook for the fiscal 2013 budget, which was reported in the FY12 community budget book, projects the FY13 general fund deficit to be $14 million. The police department's proportional share of that amount is $6.8 million. Both numbers will be revised in the coming weeks to reflect the current and projected revenues and the impact of negotiated pension reforms. It is in that fiscal context that the plan for the next recruit academy will be developed and presented to the council for approval. There will be a number of other difficult resource allocation issues to deal with in the upcoming budget process, but the timing of the academy is among the most important for the department. As you recall, there are two ways the police department can offset attrition. The first is to hire or to advertise for and hire police officers from other agencies, which we call lateral hiring. This is a 3 to 5 month process, which is substantially less expensive than a full recruit academy. There are two challenges confronting the lateral hiring option. First, the applicants often are leaving a department to avoid problems which we don't want to inherit. Second, and this is a new issue, the second tier retirement program recently negotiated and available to future laterals, which would give them a 2% at 50 using a 3-year average final contribution, could prove to be a disincentive to future laterals. The traditional recruitment academy is a lengthy process. We are working with civil service to explore ways to use modern technology to conduct the recruiting, and also changing to a test developed for POST, the California Peace Officers Standards and Training Commission. We also need to train a new cadre of instructors due to lapsed certifications since our last academy. These factors and more will be considered in developing the plan for the next academy. And now, if I may, to jump to agenda item 4.
What we'll do actually is we're gonna just stop right there.
Okay.
And we'll jump to agenda item 4 after we
perfect
these two items.
And that in that case, that concludes my presentation until we talk about the lighting, and we'll be happy to try and take any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. That was a very thorough presentation, and we do appreciate it. And I know that the members certainly will have some questions and comments. Before I did that, unless there was any objection, I know that Mr. James, who's here, has asked to say a few words. And if we'd like to just hear from him and any other members of the public that would like to say a few things, we'll do that. Mr. James.
Thank you, Councilman, members of the committee. Chief Phillips, saying it was, I think I agree it was a very good presentation. I want to highlight a couple things and maybe look at a couple things in a slightly different light. Clearly, the presentation shows that crime was up last year. Crime is already up this year, early in the year, so we can't say for sure it's going to continue. But property crime is clearly leading the way in both of those years. Violent crime, I think, still doing a great job with a slight tick up. I believe, and I think if we dug a little deeper into some of the statistics, we would actually see that property crime is a precursor for violent crime. Most criminals don't start with violent crime. They start with, you know, a simple theft and work their way up to a robbery. The robbery then next time maybe has a gun involved and that kind of stuff. So it's a progression. And I think when we see property crime ticking up as rapidly as we do, we should be worried about violent crime following suit. We also see through this presentation that we've had a drastic reduction in staffing. 825 is our current level. That's on the books. If you actually look at the number of officers we have doing the job right now, it's below 820. and that's as a result of people currently in the civil service process or long-term IOD maybe transitioning out due to job-related injuries. It's very clear that if you look at the slides, there is a correlation between staffing and crime. When staffing goes up, if you look at the charts, staffing's going up, crime is going down. As staffing is going down, crime is going up. It's not an exact science, but certainly the non-trained eye can see the correlation there. The academy is needed, I believe, just to maintain the level we're at right now. The academy, if you guys decided today, or the council as a full body decided this evening, to order a police academy, we are looking 26, 28 months down the road before we have a police officer who can work in a beat by themselves handling calls for service. 26 to 28 months. So if we're below 820 today, and it's going to take 26 to 28 months, you can also count on further attrition during that 26 to 28 month period of probably 50, maybe 60 more police officers. That brings us down into the mid-700s, a level that I don't believe is acceptable in this city, and one that, if allowed to occur, guarantees drastic increases in crime. Our demographics are very similar to those patrolled by the Sheriff's Department and LAPD, yet their crime is not going up, and ours is. And there is one very distinct difference that I see. They have committed to maintaining staffing levels on their police forces, the Sheriff's Department and LAPD. Their crime is staying stagnant or still continuing to see decreases where we're seeing increases. The difference, our staffing level has dropped. They have maintained. They are not attriting out any more officers. They are hiring to fill their attrition. Not growing, but hiring to fill their attrition. They have the same realignment issues we do, the same demographic population we do, and actually the same criminal population that I think we do. So again, I do believe staffing matters. It takes a commitment to a staffing level. You make a commitment today to a staffing level, you're making a commitment to at least halting the increase in crime. The lateral issue, which was just touched on, that is going to be a problem. There might be a few here and there, some diamonds in the rough, but for somebody from a union perspective, for somebody to give up seniority right now at a police department to come here and be bottom of the barrel when we've been talking about layoffs and had drastic reductions, basically a 20% reduction in our budgeted police staffing, that doesn't make sense. There's got to be another reason why they would do that. So what I would say is I would urge you as a committee to take forward a recommendation to the city council to not only fund an academy, but more importantly, commit to a staffing level for the police department. However we maintain that staffing level, we need a commitment. I want to go back, and one of the things that's caused this problem is proportional share. I will tell you that if the council maintains its position on proportional share, not only will we not be able to fund an academy, the attrition over the next 24 to 28 months that I talked about will occur. We will be in the 750s if we stick with proportional share. Not only will we not grow, we will have to shrink. We won't grow. We won't maintain. No, we will continue to shrink, which is a guarantee that, in my opinion, that crime will continue to rise. So I hope you guys will take a level of commitment back to the full council that this isn't something we need to examine for the next 3 to 6 months. This is something we need to take action on last Tuesday, today, no later than next Tuesday, because it's such a long process. So thank you for your time, and please, please, let's move forward with the police academy.
Thank you, Mr. James. I'm going to bring it behind the rail. Is there any member of the public, and I'll allow an opportunity for members of the public to also speak after we comment, but is there anyone that wants to speak right now before we begin? There will also be an opportunity after we speak.
Bill Pearl with LBReport.com. I would just like to get a numerical clarification. Mr. Phillips cited some figures there on police staffing. My understanding is that those numbers are actually about 60 officers higher than the number of officers that are available for citywide deployment, because roughly 60 of those officers are not funded by the city council. They're paid for by the port, by the airport, by LBCC for contracted duties, are not available for routine citywide deployment. So from those numbers, including the ones Mr. James cited, one has to subtract roughly 60. And I believe Mr. Phillips also acknowledged they include 17 police recruits that for the last 3 years haven't materialized. So by my math, if Mr. James is right and we'd be in the 750 range without a police academy, we'd be below 700. That's my question numerically. Second, I wonder if the department can tell us, this is a where question for reporters. We'd like to know who, what, when, where, why, where the shootings have been for the 2011 year. I believe they're embedded in the aggravated assault category, and I don't know if that's available, but we'd sure like to know where they were, as well as the property crimes that were referenced. Thank you again, and for this hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Pearl. In reference to the question, the first question, which was, I know that you had mentioned, Mr. Braden, in your presentation, you referenced the other officers that are assigned to other portions of the city, but not necessarily from the general fund that are paid through other funds. Do you want to comment further on that?
Yes, sir, be happy to. We have a number of officers assigned to positions with various locations to provide contract support. We've got 13 officers and a couple of sergeants at the airport. We've got a lieutenant, three sergeants, and 21 officers at the port. We've got four officers with Long Beach Unified School District. We've got two officers at Carmelitos. We've got five officers and a sergeant with Long Beach Transit. So we have a number of officers who are providing contract law enforcement service in the community.
And two questions on that. Do we have the exact number? Do we know what the number is?
The exact number that are under contract or paid for by non-general fund monies would be 69. That includes the 9.5 Prop H motors and 60-some officers who are under contract to other entities.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Phillips. And then I think the other question is a reference to him trying to find some public information information as far as the breakdown, and I'm sure that maybe our public information people could connect with Mr. Pearl on some of those questions as well. Yes.
My name is John Dietz. I reside at 3600 Pacific Avenue. Good afternoon, Chairman Garcia, committee members. I've lived in Long Beach a little over 69 years. I've been a homeowner here for almost 42 years. During that time, I either have been a victim of or have been closely acquainted with a victim of just about every category of crime that Mr. Phillips referenced except rape. Fortunately, I have not known anybody who has been raped. Of those crimes, though, that are most impacting us shy of rape, I believe, to a resident in this city are residential burglaries. Having been a multiple victim of that myself, I can tell you there is nothing more devastating to your mentality than coming home and finding that your home has been burglarized. To see that category of crime going up in double digits is most concerning to me. And I hope you pay close attention to the need for a replacement academy. I agree with virtually everything that Steve James said, except for one thing, and that was the 28-month lead time. The wisdom imparted to me by five out of the five most recent prior chiefs of police here in Long Beach is that a good, productive, heavy emphasis on productive police officer is a 3 to 5 year lead time item. Getting them through the academy, getting them through the field training experience, getting them off of probation, that's 24 months nominally, But for them to really hit their stride, become a productive police officer, and it is up to individual officers, some are better learners than others, it's a 3 to 5 year lead time item. You have no time to waste, in my mind, in conducting in a recruit academy. And I also agree that you're probably going to have to abandon, or hopefully will abandon, this proportional cut thing, because I don't know how else you survive it. And the one thing that concerns me just a whole lot is thinking back 20 years ago this year, when they had what some people call the civil unrest from the thing that happened with Rodney King. Long Beach had no reasonable connection to the Rodney King incident whatsoever, and yet we paid one hell of a price. I believe it was April 20 years ago. And our police department was not holding its own. It was not until the Marines arrived from Camp Pendleton that we got on top of the situation. And those 4 or 5 days were just pure agonizing hell for this city, and I hope you don't set yourself up to see that repeated. It concerns me. Look what happened in Oakland. What was it, yesterday? The Occupy people? All it takes is one infinitesimal trigger, and you could be, deja vu all over again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dietz. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take it now behind the rail, and a few comments, and then I'm sure that my colleagues also have some questions and or comments. First of all, I just wanted to thank. I think it's important that we just begin by thanking our police department. I think you guys have done an incredible job under both the budget constraints and the constraints of the economy. I think there's no question that we're in a certain time and place where our economic downturn has certainly had an effect on people's income and their livelihood, and I think you guys have done a phenomenal job. I also think it's important to note, to Mr. James, and I know we have Mr. Pritchard is here as well, but both of your organizations did an incredible service to the city in agreeing to the pension reform. It was really quite historic, and I think that those reforms and those adjustments and really contributions that your members made are going to help the city's fiscal health in the long term, and certainly I think needs to be taken into consideration when you talk about proportional share and when you talk about the budget cycle that's coming up. And there's no mistake about it that both of your organizations have come to the table and have done an incredible job of really thinking about the city long term and your members as well. So certainly thank you for that. One thing that was, I think, alluded to in the discussion as well that's important for us to note as we have this debate is also what's happening at the state level. And I think there's no question that the release of prisoners into our communities are going to have a great impact this year and in the coming years as far as what happens with those prisoners, with the release, with the ability for us to work with the other public agencies to not just work on the public safety side but on the service side. And how do our service agencies begin to serve a lot of these men and women that are being released onto the streets, that a lot of which are going to cause trouble, but a lot of which also need to have public services. And I think that's going to be something important for our city to discuss. Chief, one thing that you had talked about in your presentation was some of the technology and other items that were funded this last year. You talked about the camera partnership that you've been doing throughout the city, which is fantastic. Can you talk about or perhaps give us more information about where some of those other items are? I know that there's been discussion about we had funded, I think, about $650,000 for additional camera networks throughout the city, particularly the areas that are most vulnerable to crime. Where are we at with that? There's been discussion, and we had made some direction as a council to look at some type of gunshot detection system. And where are we with those items as far as the expenditure of that money, including the technology for the police cars?
Chairman Garcia, members of the committee, with regard to the technology upgrades for the cameras and other technologies, we are continuing an internal review and working with both technology services and the financial management departments to look at where technology might be placed and what types of technology might best meet the needs of the department and fit within the funding available. I also highlighted a number of related technology issues that have surfaced since October. And those issues are in the discussion process about what we ultimately spend that money for and where we put the technology. With regard to the gunfire detection system, we have been exchanging information with one vendor, and they have changed their business model over the last year or so. We are looking at a proposal that they have sent to us that actually exceeds the funding available, and we have been attempting to work with them to try and bring down the price and get a more modest demonstration project. That effort is ongoing, so we don't have a final answer with regard to that particular vendor. We are also exploring the potential in the marketplace for other vendors with similar technologies, and have found some interesting opportunities that we may be able to take advantage of at a far lower price.
Thank you. And I think what we'll probably do is at the next public safety meeting, we'll put on the agenda a full report on all those different items that we funded and kind of where those are at in the pipeline, including the fire AVL system that we had talked about as well. So we'll add those to the next agenda meeting.